Are you alarmed when you hear about how some schools are promoting unisex locker rooms? Or how children can be reprimanded for talking about religion in the classroom? You need to understand, this is just the tip of the iceberg. What used to be a hidden agenda has become everyday reality. You might not know that this man has something to do with it. Who is he? This individual had profound effects on your life. He was so influential that in 1968, the United States Post Office issued a postage stamp to honor his achievements. His name is John Dewey. And in the 1930s, he helped promote a movement whose goal was to fundamentally change the Western world. Now, if you believe that the Bible is the foundation of your way of life, if you believe in the God of the Bible, then you need to understand the agenda of secular humanism. Join us on Beyond Today as we look at a popular movement whose purpose is to remove God and the Bible from daily life as we search the hidden agenda.
Join our host Gary Petty and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
Have you ever been intimidated with the accusation of spreading hate speech because you don't support homosexual marriage? Have you ever thought that maybe there really isn't absolute truth? We just have to learn not to judge each other. Have you ever been shocked to hear a Christian minister say that all religions are just a different path to the same God? The United States is going through some of the most dramatic societal changes in history. And many of these changes have already taken place in Europe and has dramatically altered their way of life. What's happening in our society is the fulfillment of an agenda that has been developing in the educational system for generations. Now, this brings us back to John Dewey. John Dewey had a profound effect on the development of the modern educational system. His transformation of the school system was motivated by a desire to create a new democracy. It's a philosophy based in the belief that science and human reasoning can free human beings from the perceived shackles of the Bible. This philosophy is known as secular humanism. Now, philosophical ideas may seem unimportant to your daily life, but in reality, the secular humanist agenda drives the curriculum of most schools where your children attend. It has already fundamentally changed the culture of many European countries and right here in the United States. How many times have you been confused by a news story like this? The Sacramento Bee reported that a 12-year-old girl was reprimanded 4 times in one day by school officials and required to, quote, write out an incident report to confess what she had done. What terrible deed was this little girl guilty of committing? Her crime was that during the lunch break, she had handed a flyer to a friend inviting her to a seminar challenging the theory of evolution. Now, in this case, the school did eventually change their stance, but why was this such a controversy in the first place? I mean, aren't students allowed to debate a theory? To really understand the societal changes happening in the United States, all you have to do is read the Humanistic Manifesto published in 1933 by a group of educators, ministers, and philosophers, including John Dewey. The first two principles of the manifesto deal with evolution.
First, humanists regard the universe as self-existing and not created. Second, humanism believes that man is a part of nature and that he has emerged as a result of a continuous process.
Secular humanism is founded on the belief that there is no creator God and that humanity is the result of natural evolution. Christopher Hitchens, who for many decades was one of the most visible proponents of secular humanism, wrote a book titled, God is Not Great, How Religion Poisons Everything. Now, here is how he explained why he believed that religion poisons humanity.
Here's how religion has this effect, in my opinion. It is derived from the childhood of our species, from the bawling, fearful period of infancy. It comes from the time when we did not know that we lived on an orb. We thought we lived on a disc. And we did not know that we went round the sun, or that the sky was not a dome, when we didn't know that there was a germ theory to explain disease and innumerable theories for it, the explanation of things like famine. It comes from a time when we had no good answers.
The goal of secular humanism isn't to encourage discussion about science and religion, but to erase all concepts of a supreme being. It is part of their stated agenda. Here are the 9th and 10th principles of the 1933 Humanist Manifesto about God and religion.
9th, in the place of the old attitudes involved in worship and prayer, the humanist finds his religious emotions expressed in a heightened sense of personal life and in a cooperative effort to promote social well-being. 10th, it follows that there will be no uniquely religious emotions and attitudes of the kind hitherto associated with belief in the supernatural.
Secular humanists see public education as the means to free young people from religious superstitions and bring them to the enlightened reality that human beings are nothing more than highly developed animals. Answers to human problems are to be found in science and human reasoning, not in what they consider religious superstitions. Now, this doesn't mean that humanists can convince the majority of people to become total atheists. This is why some humanists describe themselves as religious humanists or even Christian humanists. The humanistic philosophy, along with the failure of much of Christianity to live up to the fundamental teachings of the Bible, is helping create a new religion. This religion promotes equality of all religions as a way to connect with the spiritual. Even with what are called Christian humanists, much of the Bible is rejected as antiquated morality or mythology. One world government, acceptance of all spiritual paths as long as they promote love and universal unity, worldwide socialism, the importance of human beings as animals interacting with the natural environment, and the triumph of human reasoning is the humanist agenda. Now, there is one other important humanist agenda: sexual freedom. In 1973, the Secular Humanist Manifesto was updated to include:
in the area of sexuality, we believe that intolerant attitudes, often cultivated by orthodox religions and puritanical cultures, unduly repress sexual conduct. The right to birth control, abortion, and divorce should be recognized.
Understand, they must be recognized as rights. Dr. Marty Klein explained human sexuality in a speech given at the American Humanist Association's annual conference.
Sex has no inherent meaning. Sex has no inherent goal or purpose. We owe sex nothing. The social norms that govern sexuality, what is sexy, what is sex, who is eligible for sex, what is normal sex, are a product of their unique time and place. Victorian England, 1920s Paris, 1950s American South, etc. They do not reflect some deep truth about the real nature of sex.
This view on human sexuality drives the humanistic agenda and their acceptance of pornography, homosexuality, transgenderism, abortion, and the denigration of the concept of holy marriage. The idea that the Bible is primarily a book of myths, the fanatical teaching of evolution as absolute fact, the promotion of socialism, even the idea of unisex locker rooms for teen athletes, are all products of a philosophical agenda that is no longer hidden. How can Christians counter the invasion of the secular humanist agenda? First, you need to understand that there are real, absolute truths. Now, we'll look at the Christian response, but first, let me tell you about our free Bible study aid, Is the Bible True? Is there an unwavering source of proven, lasting standards and values that you can always count on? The answer is yes. In our free Bible study aid, you'll discover how to explore the Bible as the source of truth. To order your own personal free copy of Is the Bible True? Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or you can write to us at the address on your screen throughout the program. Or visit beyondtoday.tv to read or download a copy. How can Christians effectively discuss God and the Bible and combating humanistic principles taught in many schools as unquestionable facts? Let's look at three ways Christians can create dialogue with our children and grandchildren about secular humanism. First, secular humanism promotes a falsehood that science has absolutely proven evolution and disproved creation. Christianity can present a scientific view that supports creation. You know, this may be the greatest propaganda of the humanist movement because it's stated with such confidence and authority. The immediate Christian reaction to respond with Scripture is automatically rejected because the Bible, in their mind, has already been discounted as myth. The secular argument is presented as scientific fact versus caveman superstition. Well, young people need to be encouraged to have an open mind, think for themselves instead of blindly following the humanist propaganda, and study the opposing scientific evidence. Introducing young people to legitimate and respected scientists who teach the evidence of a designed and created universe is the first step in dealing with secular humanism. Step two, secular humanism teaches that human beings are highly evolved animals. The Bible teaches that God created human beings for a greater purpose and potential. You know, two of the attractive aspects of humanism are the promise of freedom of thought and sexual freedom without consequences. I've always found it interesting that a philosophy that espouses freedom of thought has an agenda to eradicate religious thought. Seems strange. The arrogance of humanism is summed up in an article by Fred Edwards posted on the American Humanist Association website. Here's what he says.
Imagine how shocked a friend of mine was when I told her my view of God's moral standards. I said, if there were such a God, and these were indeed his ideal moral principles, I would be tolerant. After all, God is entitled to his own opinions.
Remember, secular humanists see human beings as nothing more than highly evolved animals. Secular morality is based on the idea that individuals are free to do whatever they want as long as it doesn't harm anyone. Human potential is defined only in making the world a better place in the here and now and doing whatever makes you happy. The Bible presents a different view of human nature, the cause and purpose for suffering, and the ultimate human potential. In the biblical narrative, human beings are created by God in His own image. And this explains why we are infinitely more intelligent and creative than any of the other animals. God also gave us freedom of choice. Now, this is the great irony of secular humanism. They accept human reasoning as the highest form of evolution. In reality, human reasoning and our ability to do scientific exploration is one of God's greatest gifts. The Bible teaches that human beings are made in the image of God, but we have become corrupted images of God. Listen to what the prophet Jeremiah wrote. The heart. Now he's writing here of the deepest human emotions, motivations, and thought. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Because of freedom of choice, all of us, you, me, all of us, have become a mixture of good and evil. In our selfishness, we've become desperately wicked. And this is why secular humanism can never solve the human condition. They will never create equality, erase racism or poverty, stop wars and crime, or solve all problems through human reasoning. The problems with humanity are inherently spiritual in nature, and therefore, they require spiritual solutions. Now, I mentioned earlier that sexual freedom is part of the humanistic agenda. Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Secular humanists take biblical passages like this and condemn them as attempts at religious thought control. As an evolved animal, they reserve the right to sexual freedom. Young people need to understand that they're so much more than a highly evolved animal. They have a spiritual component to their nature. You know, real happiness isn't found in being controlled by physical instincts, but in having your nature change to respond to your Creator. Even human sexuality has a beautiful spiritual intent when we understand why God made us the way He did. It's only when we comprehend our spiritual nature, a design need for a relationship with God, and recognize that it can't be fulfilled by just doing some good deeds or pursuing selfishness, that we can begin to reach out to embrace the reality of God. Our third step. The biblical worldview inspires us to live better lives and have hope in the future. Ultimately, secular humanism abandons us to the struggles and pain of everyday life with no hope of an afterlife. A buzz phrase among humanists for Christian belief in the afterlife is wishful thinking. In their view, the only hope for the human species is that we will eventually evolve into a socialistic society void of religious superstition, dedicated to living in harmony with the other animals of nature and using human reasoning to eradicate national borders, crime, poverty, and war. Well, good luck with that. You know, earlier in the program, I said that part of the success of secular humanism is the failure of much of Christianity throughout history to live up to the fundamental teachings of the Bible. And as Christians, we must face this before we can engage young people about secularism. We can't dispute secular humanism if our spirituality is nothing more than shallow churchianity comprised of ceremonies without practical solutions to everyday life. Christianity must be rooted in vigorous biblical teaching, proclaiming that God ordained human potential and the consequences of sin. We must spark the imagination of young people to recognize the reality of their spiritual nature, and that there is a Creator God, even angels, demons, and Satan, who is the author of evil. Jesus Christ must be lifted up as more than a baby in the manger to be realized as the only solution to the human spiritual condition. If we are to engage young people in the teachings of the Bible, we must inspire them to understand the potential created in them and each of us to be a child of God. We must inspire them to make the world better today by their conduct and faith. We must teach them that real Christianity is a reasonable way of life. Faith is a reasoned response to the spiritual reality of God. God exists. God cares. He wants to be involved in your life. He wants you to be part of a future when Christ returns to eradicate all poverty, violence, and inequality. Ask God to open your heart and mind to the truth. Pray for young people in your family. Seek the absolute truths that are found in your Bible. Now, if you want to help your children in dealing with the secular humanist agenda, order your free study aid, "Is the Bible True?" Call 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632, or you can go online to beyondtoday.tv. Now, when you do, we'll also send you a free subscription to Beyond Today magazine. This 40-page bi-monthly publication offers you practical help for your life today and genuine hope for your future that God wants to give to you. Beyond Today magazine not only explains what is happening in our troubled and confused world, but offers an amazing vision of a positive and rewarding future that lies ahead for you and all humanity. Call right now or write down this number, 1-888-886-8632, 1-888-886-8632, or go online at beyondtoday.tv for the free study aid, Is the Bible True?, and the Beyond Today magazine, or write to us at the address shown on your screen throughout the program. We've been discussing the impact of secular humanism on society. Now, to further expand the subject, I'm joined by fellow Beyond Today presenters, Darris McNeely, Steve Myers. You know, Steve, you teach Christian apologetics. How do you deal with the secular humanist agenda?
One of the challenges, of course, is where you begin. Where do you begin when you start to deal with a subject like this? Oftentimes, people presuppose things. They take things and assume wrong premises to begin with. And so to begin from the wrong premise is going to take you to an area that you don't belong.
It'd be interesting to get scientists together as a clean slate, whether you believe in God or don't believe in God, then let them study science and see where they come out the other end. It'd be interesting because where you start is where you're going to end up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Philosophy professors will often do that. They'll say, well, leave your beliefs at the door. But wait a second, they already have a set of beliefs that they have in place that gives an unfair advantage to start with. So they don't really start with a clean slate.
Right.
They already start with the idea that God doesn't exist. And that's a presupposition that Christians can't accept.
Everyone has assumptions that become their own truths, whether it's a faith-based or reason-based.
And that's true, too. I mean, as we have to be, as Christians, honest enough to look at the Scripture at times and say, well, some of our beliefs may be wrong as we adapt to the Scripture. But we've grown to a premise that there is a God. So we approach this totally differently.
Yeah, I ran across an interesting article that was in the Washington Post just a couple of weeks ago. And a lady wrote about, her title was this, I'm an atheist, so why can't I shake God? And she wrote some very interesting things because she still has this sense there. And the Bible actually bears this out. She wrote, the idea of God pesters me and makes me think that maybe I'm not as devoted to my atheistic beliefs, she implies, as I'd like to think I am or would like to be. And that harkens back to what God actually says about people. He says that they're without excuse when they don't believe in God.
It's in the book of Romans.
It's in the book of Romans.
Yeah, it's at Romans chapter 1. The Apostle Paul had to deal with this in the first century Roman world. And he deals with it right off in this letter, and he says that the truth, and he speaks of truth because he believed in it, was suppressed in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For the creation of the world shows God, but they deny that. And even then, in that world, there was ample proofs of God, but there were conscious efforts to deny that and turn away from it, essentially atheism.
Yeah, and that's the challenge. When you look at that whole passage here, it talks about those that actually suppress truth. They want to hold back truth. They're not starting with an even scale. They're starting with the idea God doesn't exist. And yet God points out here that they're without excuse, because when you look at the creation, it says very clearly, he says you can understand things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. So when you really start objectively, God says, you should believe in me. And in fact, in that article, this lady pointed to a Pew Research study that I think bears this out. She wrote that Pew Research found 8% of self-identified atheists believe in God or a universal spirit. And so they can't shake it, because it seems, even science bears this out, that there seems to be some type of hardwiring in our brains that lead us to believe in God. And that bears with what Romans 1 says.
Yeah, and also in Romans 1, it says they knew God but did not glorify Him as God. And professing to be wise, they became fools. At some point, again, a conscious decision is made when you do know God, or you are confronted with even reasonable proofs of God, to make a decision to deny God.
You know, I've met biologists, geologists, people who are important in the field that they're in, have doctorates, who all believe in God. They look at the same set of facts, and they say, this proves God. So it's coming to this with a clear mind, and I think that's what people have to get their children to understand. They have to come with an open mind to look at science. Christians aren't discounting science. We're saying, where are you starting with your premise?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I think one of the challenges is when you talk about the way you look at the world, your beliefs, your philosophical systems. If you rely on just humanity, on a humanistic point of view, It's subjective. It's arbitrary. What makes your system any better than my system? When you look to God who created us, he has the system, and that makes all the difference.
And also one warning for a believer, and that is to not push forward an undue bias against science.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That will push a young person away quicker than anything. Recognize that there is science, there's factual science, there's true science, and that science is not in a distinction against the Bible when the both are understood for what they are. They can be reconciled.
Well, just like there are spiritual things about God we don't understand, there's lots of things about this physical world we don't understand. I want to remind you about our free offer, Is the Bible True and Beyond Today magazine. To order your free copies of these publications, please call us toll-free at 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632, or go online at beyondtoday.tv.
Hi, I'm Steve Myers. I'm the pastor here at the United Church of God Cincinnati East Congregation. I'd like to welcome you to come and join us on this great spiritual journey. We have hundreds of congregations around the United States and across the world. Click on the Congregations tab to find a church near you. We're committed to growing in our relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ, as well as fellowshipping with each other. If you're looking for a home that encourages living what the Word of God really teaches, you've found the right place. We're a family of Bible believers committed to following Jesus Christ in everything we do. We've found God's way is the best way to live. We're happy that you're looking into what God is doing in our efforts to bring His message to the world. God is certainly pleased that you're looking into knowing Him better, and we're here to help. We would love to have you come and visit and worship with us. We're looking forward to meeting you soon. Come and join us.
Let's recap how Christians must engage young people in order to counteract the influence of secular humanism. First, secular humanism promotes a falsehood that science has proven evolution and disproved creation. Christianity can present a scientific view that supports creation. Two, secular humanism teaches that human beings are highly evolved animals. The Bible teaches that God created human beings for a greater purpose and potential. And three, the biblical worldview inspires us to live better lives now and have hope in the future. Join us next week on Beyond Today as we continue to discover the gospel of the kingdom. We also invite you to join us in praying, Thy Kingdom Come. For Beyond Today, I'm Gary Petty. Thanks for watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.